Limit Break Radio.
Limit Breaking News.
LimitBreakRadio.com.
Welcome to a very special Limit Break Radio. We are here today. It is Nika and I getting the Vegas crew back together. We're here to talk about the PAX East 2015 panel that just got wrapped up, and some exciting 3.0 Heavensward announcements. If you were listening earlier, we were doing some reactions to the live stream as they were happening, and that was just a little experiment that that we've never tried before. And then here we're recording this little wrap up. And this will actually be out on the podcast. So this will come out a little bit later this afternoon. So, like I said, joining me is Nika Kyanian. How's it going?
Good. I'm excited.
Hype. So hype. There's a lot of, dude, I mean, not a whole lot of hard details being released, but
a lot of hype.
A lot of hype. Wow. A lot of little things being talked about, and a lot of excitement. I'm so hyped for this, as everyone in the chat and Nika, we've been talking about. Oh my god, they really know how to hype an expansion.
They do.
Oh my god. So some really cool things to talk about. First of all, we tried this thing with doing a multi-Twitch, encouraging people to multi-Twitch our stream and the live FF14 announcements out at PAX East at the same time. I think that went surprisingly well. We had some really positive feedback from the chat room about that. It's something that I've considered doing in the past, but I was like, I don't know if people would be into it, and plus the lag would be really weird. But I think it actually went really well, and it's something that we're gonna try to do in a little bit more formalized fashion. We'll maybe try to allocate some time off when we know these things are coming. Maybe do it for live letters and stuff like that too. So be on the lookout for more of these types of announcements in streams in the future. And we're since it was an experiment, we didn't really promote it today very much, because we just didn't know how it would go. So we want to thank everyone who's been hanging out in the chat room for hanging out with our experiment and trying it and giving us some feedback on it. It's been very cool of you guys. So look forward to more of those in the future. And the reason that we can do stuff like this is because of your support, your Patreon support, your PayPal support. And we really want to thank everyone who has been generously giving at the Patreon page. It's not even officially a week that we've had that Patreon page open, and we are nipping at the heels of $1,200 a month, guys.
Oh my God.
I cannot thank you enough for your generosity. I cannot thank you enough for your support and your participation in Limit Break Radio. And you guys are making this a crazy awesome thing. And so we definitely feel the heat to be able to provide fast reactions to stuff like this for you. So in large part, you have yourselves to thank for this episode. So give yourself a pat on the back, and if you haven't supported yet, there's still time. And you can head on over to patreon.com/limitbreakradio and give your support to Limit Break Radio and let us grow this this channel for the future. All right, so let's talk about PAX East 2015. They got started a little bit late, about 15 minutes late, but that's okay. A lot of super exciting things going on. They started off the panel by recapping what we had already been exposed to through the three fan fests that went on last year, through the Vegas Fan Fest, through the London Fan Fest and the Tokyo Fan Fest, and we got to see a lot of the same trailers and a lot of the same footage that we've already seen, but we got to see a little bit of new stuff, including some new animations from the O-Ra race. And someone in the chat said this at the time, And you know, we didn't mention this as we were going, but I thought it was really interesting. What's going to be the sub race for the Aura? You know, every other race in Eorzea has you know,
it showed both of them.
Oh, did it?
Yeah, that image where it had the two guys and the two girls, and like one of the guys, the guy on the left was like blue skinned, and the guy on the right
okay,
was like flesh toned.
Okay, okay,
those are the two different.
Okay, so it's just like it's like dark elf sort of thing.
I think so. Yeah. I'm sure they'll have some kind of lore behind it. But, yeah. I mean, oh, well, but it looked like, I think one of the females actually was a little taller and more slender, I think. And then the guy was different color skin. And then
well,
the other one.
You know, a lot of the sub races don't have lore completely fleshed out, like the Dusk White Elizan. There's not much about their history, you know, that we know about already. So, you know, I mean, I'm glad that they're including that. Just a reskin. I don't know. I'm sure there will be subtle differences
now, though, that like the skin tones are different. Some of the like face shapes are a little bit different. And like with the Rogadins, they have like different noses that are kind of cat-like or something,
right?
But
right.
I mean, otherwise, there's not usually too many differences between the two different like subclasses or subraces. But other than color,
yeah, that's a good point. So the next thing, you know, they showed off you know, all of the job animations. We've seen those already at other Final Fantasy 14 presentations in the past, but good to see again. You know, always good to be exposed to those. Astrologian animation, especially for that weapon, very
cool.
They
like pulled it out and it just like flowed out and floated above her hand. It was so pretty.
It's so cool. I dig it. And then you know, they got into you know, maybe a 15-minute portion talking about how they pinned down their decisions for what jobs they're going to add. And Nika, I know that you were kind of bemoaning this as they were talking about it, but they were saying that Samurai, I mean, the decision between adding Dark Knight and adding Samurai was so close. They said it was down to the wire.
I mean, but I wonder if that means that if they do add Samurai in the future, if it will still be a tank or if they'll consider it for DPS. Because I know I saw during the chat when they announced that they were debating between Dark Knight and Samurai, people were like, oh, good, Samurai dodged the tank bullet, now it gets to be a DPS.
I don't know that that's necessarily true. I actually think that Samurai would be better suited as a tank. It makes sense. You know, I had mentioned during the stream that, you know, a lot of the concept behind Samurai would be, you know, maybe a parry based tank or a evasion based tank. But somebody also brought up counterattacking too. Counterattacking, you know, all of those things, parry, evasion, and counterattack. Those would be a really cool aspect to throw around a tank job. And of course, you know, Samurai fits the bill for all of those. So, you know, I think the fact that it was down to the wire, I don't think you should be disappointed by that, Nika. I mean, you know, I know I'm saying this as a Dark Knight fan myself, but you know, and had it gone the other way, I'm sure as shit I would have been salty as fuck about that. But I think that's a pretty good indication that we might see Samurai somewhere in the future.
Yeah, probably, but it's going to be later rather than sooner.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I think it'll definitely be another expansion before we'll see any jobs. But you know, there is that possibility with 2.0. We didn't think that they would add an additional job between 2.0 and 3.0, and then boom, here comes Ninja. You know, so yeah. It's possible that because it was so close, maybe that'll be the surprise fourth job that they'll add in, you know, 3.5 or, you know, 3.4 or something. You never know. But they did say, they did give a little bit more specifics about Dark Knight, saying that, I'm going to say, I called it. It is going to be a MP intensive tank.
Yeah,
and that
makes sense.
A lot of of the concept behind it is going to be MP management. And there was one key statement in there that I sort of latched onto that I thought was interesting. Where they basically said that MP management is going to play a big role, and I took that as an indication that MP is going to be used way more for enmity generation than necessarily damage mitigation, or offensive abilities. I mean, I'm sure that we'll get a mix of those in there, but I think that, you know, the most important thing for a tank to be able to do is to be able to keep that threat generation up. And if you attach MP to that, you know, in the strongest way possible, then that really forces the player to manage MP like they were talking about. So that's what I assume.
Saying you're going to harness the power of darkness and you need to manage your MP so you don't lose the power of darkness.
Right. Yes.
Whatever that means.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, maybe there's going to be stacks involved with something. I've said in the past that absorbs and drain, asper, possibly dread spikes could play a role in that. I think all of those are, you know, they're all abilities that we've seen assigned to Dark Knight in the past that would be appropriate and would also serve to that MP management role. So that's really exciting. I was definitely excited to hear more about Dark Knight. But we didn't hear that much about the way that Astrologian or Machinist plays. There's stuff that we can infer about Machinist, but not much about Astrologian yet.
You can be a DPS as well as kind of like a party buffer.
A bit of a support role.
You can make attachments for your little drone that can buff the party. So that made me think it was kind of like a techie red mage with a gun.
You said on the stream at the time, Puppet Master, that it's just going to end up being a Puppet Master. You may not be wrong about that.
Because they made it sound like it would have different attachments, and if I remember correctly, Puppet Master, you could give it a damage attachment, like a Black Mage one I think was the strongest, or you could give it like a Red Mage attachment where it would cast slow and things like that.
So right.
Maybe it will be something like that, or maybe... I mean, I don't know. Because there's also attachments to the guns, which they didn't really say if it was going to be like different types of damage or if a different attachment would give you a different debuff on the enemy.
Yeah, there was a very interesting screenshot in there where they were talking about gun attachments for Machinist. And I want to spend a second talking about this because, I think what would be cool. Now, I said this at the time that you could have one static gun that stays with you throughout the game and the stat allocations are just changed with the attachment. So you're not, when you actually, because there's a main weapon and then a sub weapon. So, I mean, if they wanted to use the shield slot, that I guess they could use that for an attachment. But I think what would be cool in terms of a narrative and in terms of when you're crafting the narrative around the job is that if you keep the same gun, then you're like forming an attachment with that weapon. It's like a long-term attachment.
And like I'm best friend.
Well, I'm sort of reminded of the Dark Tower series by Stephen King, where, you know, the characters in that, the gunslingers, have a strong emotional attachment to their guns. In fact, the guns are passed down from their fathers. And there's, you know, the guns of my fathers. That's a commonly spoken phrase in the Dark Tower. And I think that forming that kind of attachment and then just, you know, swapping out the attachments on the guns, I think that that's really cool. But they did show, you know, like Garuda attachments and Ifrit attachments. And so there's a question now is, you know, and they did show like the actual weapon that it was derived from.
They showed like a base gun, a couple different versions of a base gun, and then they showed the like primal looking version.
Right. Yeah, exactly. So I like that idea of building an attachment with your weapon because, you know, weapons switch in and out all the time. And really the only weapon that we build attachment to, for long term is our, you know, like our Zodiac weapon. But I think that would be a cool story, story driven way to do that. But also I want to talk about the design of Machinist in terms of, you know, just the aesthetic aesthetics. What did you think, you know, in terms of how the overall look of the job, you know, it was presented?
I mean, it kind of looks like I would have expected it to look at this point, especially because we still don't know much about how it's going to play. So they really just showed one animation of them shooting and it pulling out its drone. So, I mean, until we, I feel like what's really going to bring the aesthetic of this together is what the drone does. Like, is it going to fly around and shoot? And they said there's also like a ground drone that could be the debuffer. I really am interested to see what the drone's going to do, which I think is going to be the real complement to what the job looks and feels like.
Sure. Yeah. And you know, having the customization options for the gun as well as the drone, I think that that's going to, you're going to have a lot of really interesting setups that you can run with that. Somebody in the chat, Bugbear 91, weapon attachments will be just like stances. That's an interesting way to put it. You know, let's say you want to go as more of a support role, you change out your attachment and maybe that changes some of your ability allocations, not just stat allocations, but some of the abilities that you have access to. That would be a really interesting way to allow the job to function. So, and then, you know, not much revealed about Astrologian. We just saw, you know, a handful of animations associated with it, but not much explained about how that's going to work, which is really interesting because that is a job that is pretty, you know, that's pretty unique to Final Fantasy XIV. And so, you know, I've got to wonder, you know, how it's going to end up playing, what kind of, you know, what kind of job, you know, like how much is the random, you know, thing going to play, come into play, because you know you've got the cards and they said that they wanted to have some kind of randomish element in there because of the cards. So I'm kind of curious.
I just wonder how random it's going to be. Like, I mean, when Corsair in 11 had a really random system, like
right.
If it was a like the lowest number or if it was an 11, it would be like a critical version or something like that. And I wonder if it's going to have a similar system or be, you know, totally different.
Yeah, that's a great question as well. But the thing that they did show off about Astrologian, and I thought that this was absolutely hysterical, was that they showed off some of the early weapon concepts that they had for Astrologian. And one of them included a very Yu-Gi-Oh looking arm shield.
They had like the, yeah, like I never watched Yu-Gi-Oh too much, but you know, like the big arm attachment that folds out and you card battle and press the card and it flies into the sky. I mean, that would have been cool to like push on a card and then see a magic spell kind of like come out. I mean, maybe something like that will still happen. Don't really know.
You know what I think that there should be a pretty strong effort from the community to lobby for that to be something that you buy with MGP and then changes the animation when you play Triple Triad.
Oh, that would be awesome.
Right? Like, you know how you currently bring the cards out, but let's say you want to be a fucking Triple Triad master. Well, you just shovel a shitload of MGP out and boom, that changes your animation when you go into Triple Triad.
That would be so cool. I would pay so much for that.
Pay me money, Square Enix. I'm just full of these ideas. that was pretty cool. I'm glad that they showed that off. And I mean, and they put it into the fucking game. It's not like it would take that much development at this point. It's in there. Make it happen, dude. Come on. There were some other cool things that they showed off, not just, you know, stuff for the new jobs, but stuff for the existing jobs. They showed off a lot of the, you know, some of the new equipment that's going to be, and it looked like very much job specific equipment, JSE.
Yeah.
If you want to, you know,
I mean, I think it's like the new version of artifact armor, more or less.
Yeah, exactly. So if you guys give me a second, I'm actually going to pull these up on the stream so that everyone can see them. And I'm going to make sure that the pictures aren't ant sized this time because I recognize that those are kind of hard to see. All right. So let's bring up the first one here. And this is everyone had a big reaction to this. And this is the Fisher. looking a lot like like Dale Gribble from King of the Hill.
Well, but, I mean, I think if we're we, I mean, we grew up in Midwest here, and I feel like a big part of growing up as us for a kid was going camping, going fishing, and I feel like so many of my friends' dads looked like this fishing.
Yes.
It just reminds me, you know, has the vest with all the pockets for all the different tackles and hooks and lures and things like that. And
oh, yeah.
It just really, it really kind of hit home with me a little bit with like everyone I know at home kind of looks like this when we go camping.
Yeah, it's very cool. And God damn it, Square Enix, why you got to make me want a level Fisher? That's just not fair. That's just a, God damn it. We've also got Botanist here, which, you know, I apologize for the kind of potato quality of these. These are, you know, they were screen capped through a stream and now we're restreaming them and blowing them up artificially. So you're going to just get some pixel loss. I apologize. But yeah, Botanist there, not bad looking. I mean, I don't know. I'm nothing special. The Miner, it looks pretty minery.
Yeah, it looks better. I think the Botanist and Minor Gear both look better than what they have now. Like, I like my Botanist gear, but it's a little more, looks more like a gardener, which is similar, I suppose, but I like this new design a bit better.
Definitely, definitely.
And the I don't know if you noticed, but the Miner with the visor button, you can turn on and off the little light on the helmet.
Oh, that's kind of cool. No, I've never noticed that, but I don't have a Miner level.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
So. And then we've got Culinarian with the gigantic chef's hat. Which, you know, that's a pretty cool design. I mean, it's a nice, classy apron, I guess.
Yeah, it looks better than the Culinarian we've got now.
It's legit, legit. All right. Alchemist was pretty cool. I like the visor, with the like glasses that kind of have the mechanical aspect to them. We've got Weaver. Now, I know that you were anticipating Weaver. What's your react? What do you think?
It's not exactly what I want for this job, but if you think about it in terms of like, Weaver's kind of been the pimp class, I feel like. Its original had like the really tight jacket with the little tiny hat, and it was very like circus master feeling. This one just kind of takes it to the next step. It's got, you know, like the fur coat and the top hat and it feels very pimp like. So I'm not really sure what they're going for in terms of Weaver, because I feel like, I mean, being a seamstress myself, I sew costumes, I sew clothes. I mean, a big coat like that's going to get in your way when you're sewing. So I personally don't think it's the smartest choice, but, you know, it looks cool.
Okay. All right. The top hat looks cool. Pimp. Pimp is definitely a good way to describe that.
Yes.
It is. I'm going to say.
Someone saw Little Poot said, Snoop Dogg.
It's a little red magey.
A little bit. If I mean, they it's got the red design with the feather on the hat, but...
Yeah, and I say that because of the feather. Maybe not the hat design, because the hat's definitely a top hat. But the feather and then the body, I mean, if they... I'm pretty sure that, you know, if they had introduced Red Mage and given Red Mage that body, everyone would have gone, oh, yeah, that's legit.
Yeah, I could see that.
Yeah. So, let's see. Leather Worker... I don't know. It's okay. What's that thing on her head?
I don't know.
I have a tough time being able to tell what that is. It looks weird, but I mean, whatever. I get, yeah.
It's some kind of hat thing to hold the hair away, I guess.
It looks weird. It definitely looks weird. I don't know. I'd have to see it up close.
It's leather, I would assume, but yeah. I don't know.
So, Goldsmith, not bad. First of all, I hate the fucking pants. The pants are ridiculous. Second of all,
it feels kind of like, I feel like someone who would walk into a ritzy private event of some sort. It's very, very high class looking.
But look at those pants, dude. They stop at the knee. They stop at the knees. Your shins are totally exposed. What is up with that? That's so weird. A guy to wear, that's weird. That's weird.
Yeah, I suppose.
Not into it. I'd prefer the lock Goldsmith. I would glamour that. Ugh. I'm not into it. Here we have Armorer. Pretty cool.
This one makes the least sense, though. Like, Armorer and Blacksmith are the ones that are melding with heat and, like, sparks flying everywhere, and you're going to have a completely open chest and
why
stomach.
Why do you have an exposed chest?
You're going to kill yourself, or at least third-degree burns. Like, that is the worst possible choice.
You're going to protect your face, but not your chest. Why?
Don't know. Battle scars look good picking up ladies? I don't know.
Yeah, but
I'm a rough and tough, hardcore armorer. Look at my scars.
Scars are only cool in the context that you get the scars in. If you get the scar like a retard, you're still a retard. You're a retard with a scar.
Yeah.
This one is Blacksmith. There's no title at the top, but again, way
same
too much
exposed
chest.
Like,
yeah.
The apron thing looks really cool. And actually, like, the shoulders look cool.
The belt. I dig the tool belt looks pretty sweet.
Yeah, the tool belt is pretty cool. The open chest makes zero sense.
No sense. I'm totally not into the head thing either.
I don't mind that as much.
I mean, at least Armorer's got the face mask, and that I like that. You know, like the welding mask. I'm into
that.
They
have goggle that's just up on his forehead right now.
Unless you can goggle or visor the goggles down, I don't know. Carpenter with the gigantic saw.
Yeah, has a gigantic saw right now.
Yeah, and the armor it looks pretty standard.
I don't like the green.
Yeah, I'm sure that you can dye it.
Yeah, probably.
And here we get into the battle and magic classes. White mage. Now this is interesting.
It looks like a nun.
It looks a little bit like a nun. Also looks a little bit like the KKK. But I thought the hood up, the hood up was an interesting.
I wonder if you can visor that.
There.
I don't know. If you click on the next white mage image, you can see that I was looking at the weapon.
Yeah, the weapon
kind of looks like a harpy or a Garuda type thing.
Yeah, with a shield on it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's interesting. There's the other shot of it.
Chest and everything. It's like a harpy.
Those are titties.
They are.
Those are very clearly titties.
I don't know the story behind that.
Wow, a little explicit there, Square Enix.
Yeah, I'm curious as to the lore behind that.
Well, I wonder if they're going to have to, like, you know, put a little like censored bar for certain audiences.
I mean, there's no like nipples.
MA rating. here's
as much as having cleavage on your character.
No, that's exposed.
I guess
that's full on titties.
Yeah.
I mean, if they just let the girls hang out on Siren, you know, like, I don't know. Here's Paladin. Well, what'd you think of Paladin as our resident Paladin?
I think it's really cool. I love butt capes. I think butt capes are the coolest. They're not practical in any way, shape, or form, but they are cool as fuck. Like, any anime character that has a butt cape, you know, is, like, serious business. Like, butt capes are the way to go. And, like, the shoulder armor is the coolest. Oh, they have the next picture shows it up close. And I love that they chose a femro for the Paladin.
There you go.
The shoulder armor is spiky and wingy looking and really cool.
I'm telling you, Square Enix listens to this show. And, and there's proof right there. Because yes. Why else would you put Ephemero as a Paladin?
What do you mean, why else?
It doesn't make sense.
And they're the toughest, which
no,
makes sense.
No, no. They were just doing a subtle LBR reference. Don't worry about it, Nika.
I'll take that.
No, I think this is cool. The shoulder piece with the wings coming off. I like that. Something that I've always kind of liked about my character's current glamour is, you know, the asymmetrical shoulder pauldrons, you know, like how one's bigger than the other. For some reason I like that aesthetic, and it's cool that, you know, they're continuing that with the Paladin.
It doesn't look stupid on a female. I'm so glad they chose female. Like, the Noct body was the worst possible thing they could have done for female tanks, but this looks really cool.
Yeah, this is not a contour as well. It's a good design. Bravo, Square Enix, bravo. And they always do. They put extra care into designing the job gear, for sure. So here's Black Mage. Now, I don't think that this is the best picture showing it off. Let's see what the next one shows it off a bit better, where you can see it's the one-eyed thing that the...
Yeah, the original, like, artifact armor had the one-eye thing, too. Maybe the I-90 ones did, too.
Yeah, yeah.
It looks pretty cool. It's more of, like, a short robe rather than a full length one.
You know what I would have liked to see, you know, with all the other character references that we get in Final Fantasy, Final Fantasy 14, I think that if this outfit right here would have looked really good with Lulu's buckle skirt.
Oh, that would look cool, you know? Especially because they made it kind of short.
Exactly.
They could have made a buckle skirt.
Totally, yeah. Totally.
It might have been a lot of rendering, though.
Yeah, but I mean, like, it's not like they don't have the model. I mean, really, that's just take true. The wedding dress model and then reskin it to have the buckles.
No, that's true.
I mean,
that's
if you
true.
Can have, dude, if you had that on PS2 hardware, come on. Come on. Come on. You can make that texture look badass. It's That's like a no-brainer. Okay, so Bard. A lot of people really excited about the Bard. I don't know why. I mean,
I think they're excited because it's different than what Bard has been.
True.
Like, I don't think it's anything too special. It has that like Middle Eastern-y type of feel to it with all the
But it doesn't have like two different. Doesn't have the two different color pant legs that some of the it's not ridiculous.
I think people like it better than the original Bard design. So while it doesn't stand out as something like amazingly cool looking, it's different enough that all the people that hated the original Bard design like this one.
Yeah, I and the weapon design's not bad, but I don't think it breaks.
I'm not sure what that big like bulbous thing on
the front of it is. I'm not either, but I don't think it breaks any molds either. It's cool. I'm definitely into it though. Here we have Ninja, which this
now
is.
I have to ask, does he look like Shadow from 6, or is it just Ninja?
I mean,
I feel like if they're trying to go with Throwbox, I don't know, because I mean, he's completely covered. Like, you can only see his.
No, you know what? I think ninjas will be excited about is that it is black and not like black and purple. It's just like
that's
straight
true.
Black.
It's not purple.
Yeah, there's no purple on that. It's like straight black with like silver accents. And so, yeah, there's probably, I mean, I'm sure that there are some ninjas out there that are exciting. I just don't think it was different enough for me to strike me as like, holy shit, that's amazing, you know? But I'm sure if for those ninjas out there who have been frustrated with purple gear, then this might be a little bit of relief. There you go. You get to see a bit of a close up on the face as well as
I like
the
little
weapons.
Flame design in the forehead. Looks pretty cool.
Yeah, it's all right. It's all right. It's only a matter of time before ninjas are going to get like a straight Naruto glamour. That'll happen, I'm sure. Summoner, this was interesting.
It's pretty.
Very spiky, very horny.
The horn is extra horny, and you can see that the little... I can't tell if it's a butt cape or if it's like butt wings down there. But, the actual aesthetics of the outfit, like, it's kind of... I mean, it's sleeveless, but then it has detached sleeves and detached pants.
Right.
But it's very... it's very elegant. I really like it.
The pants are a little weird. I'm gonna say that the pants are
it's
a little
really
weird.
Pretty.
I
kind of like it a lot.
I wonder what the male version of the pants look like, because if it's got that little thigh gap in there, I would say that would be very weird.
But I'm a little sad that they chose Garuda and didn't give us a teaser of a new Eggy though.
That would have been a very clever place to put that, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
And then here's the close up. I mean, that horn. I mean, that's really all you see when you get close up is like the horn and cleavage. Let's see. Monk. Now, Monk did not make much of a impression.
I hated this for a second, but my husband just watched it. And fun story, ever played FF4? His pants and everything looks just like Yang from FF4.
Oh, I would not have even caught that.
My husband caught that instantly. Young
wow.
He's normally shirtless, so obviously they gave him a wrap instead.
Okay.
But the pants with the yellow sash is Yang from FF4.
Son of a bitch, you're right. But those weapons, let's talk about those weapons, though. Those weapons are so ridiculous.
I'm not really sure.
The weapons are ridiculous. Those are so over the top and hilarious. It's like you have like...
I don't know. They're like frisbee.
Yes. It's like somebody glued spikes
like
onto frisbees.
Yeah.
It's amazing. I love it. I was not terribly impressed with it until now. What's going on in the back there? I mean, usually that's where the feather is for the monk gear, but like, I don't know what that is. That looks like a little bit more solid and metallic.
Yeah. If you click on the next picture, it even zooms in a little closer. It's like a crown thing. I'm not really sure what that's supposed
yeah,
to be.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what that is.
I mean, there does have something hanging down in the back. So I guess instead of it being like a bandana or a feather, it's like a, I don't know. I don't know.
That's weird. It's like a big dreadlock for no reason. Here's Scholar. Now, I thought Scholar was really cool. Super steampunky. It's got the top hat. It breaks from a lot of what Scholar's gear already looks like. I dig it.
It has like the black raven feather type of thing, and like the hat is very steampunk, and like the sleeves are steampunk, but then it has like, I don't know, the black feathers seems a little.
Yeah, well, the body, I don't know, the body almost sort of looks like almost like he's wearing like a Jon Snow wrap or something up top.
Yeah.
So that's kind of interesting, but I mean, like the hands, you can see these like little steampunk accents. You've got that dude, that hat's awesome. That hat.
Yeah. I mean, and you visor the
monocle. I'm going to go out on a limb and say that that's visorable. Yeah. Here's Warrior. Now, dude, I am so okay.
It looks pretty sweet.
The helmet, not that into. I could probably find a better helmet. The body is banging. I mean, like, dude, everything below the head is just fucking awesome. And even, like, the head might even be cool depending on how much of the face it blacks out. But hang on, that's not the coolest part. That fucking weapon! That weapon! The weapon is...
I am going to point out that it is a Rogadin that they chose for the other tank as well, because the Rogadin is the toughest race.
Yeah, okay. All right. No, but that axe with the chains wrapped around it, oh my god, that's so cool. For as hype as I am about Dark Knight, and I am super fucking hype about Dark Knight, I'm so glad I have a warrior ready to go, because I'm going after that fucking axe. That's so cool.
It seems like it would be more like blunt damage than slashing, though, right? Because it's like, look at the edge of it. It's flat, and like you just mash people's heads with it.
Now, here we're actually nice and close up on the head and the weapon, and I'm not seeing much of that face. If I'm going to take back actually what I said about the helmet.
That part you can visor, though. I saw them move that.
Oh, did they? Okay. I'm going to take that back. I actually am super into that helmet. I mean, I'm super into the warrior stuff all around. That's fucking so cool.
Oh, look, actually, look at the sleeve. There's like, is that chains around the sleeve, too?
Yes, it is. Look at that. I think it is. If you look around
it looks like it.
I mean, because that's where they would normally have that shield part. Maybe they decided to like chain it as a part of the.
Weird.
That's pretty cool. I dig it. And then Dragoon. Dragoon is so cool.
But this is all about the Dragoons.
So. Oh, absolutely. Dragoon.
If it wasn't cool, I would be very disappointed.
I'm going to say that this is even more Kane-ish than the existing Dragoon armor.
Yeah. I think so too.
I mean,
especially the way it's pointed in the front. And
yeah, I feel like the current Dragoon armor is, you know, maybe like a throwback to like FF5, like your traditional like job Dragoon armor, and then this has got Kane written all over it. It's really cool. I like the back of it too. I think it's very cool. Very, very well done. Very well done. And then close up on the face with the visor. Of course we knew the visor was going to be there, because that's featured prominently in the Heavensward trailer. Damn. So cool. So cool.
So awesome.
Yeah. And that's pretty much it for the different variations on the armor. I think that's so cool. Just going back to Machinist for a second, and some of these concept photos, it looks like there's a lot of different attachments. There's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 proposed attachments, or three different points that you could attach something to the gun. And I have to wonder how they're going to manage that.
I don't know.
Could it be? I don't know. Maybe it's
unless
gonna
they
have
did
to be
something like materia, where you can like instead of materia, you can like meld.
Yeah, I was actually just thinking that like do it sort of like melding, but maybe maybe they're gonna end up adding something like they did in 11 with Puppet Master that is its own UI to be able to manage this stuff.
Yeah, maybe.
But here now, this I actually wanted to spend a moment on this this screenshot. We talked about this earlier. And I wanted to bring it up because I found it and we can put it on screen. So this is what we were talking about by the primal weapons that, you know, that would be associated. So now what I can't tell is, are they providing the little picture in picture primal weapons as like context for what the existing weapons already look like, or are they implying? See, I don't know any of that Japanese, so
I mean, it almost looks like, oh, that's actually Japanese. I can read if I could see it bigger. I can find it, but it looks like you look at the big picture of the gun, and then underneath it shows it's like the Ifrit horn has like flipped forward.
Right, right.
So I don't know if like maybe there is an Ifrit gun, and then you can change the attachments.
It
to make
does
it
kind of
different.
I think it is, because I mean look at the two smaller pictures. First of all, like the pictures on the top, those are rifles, which, you know, I would say that. You know, that the big pictures and the one on the below, those are a little bit more like, you know, one looks like maybe a shotgun or a very long, you know, kind of revolver type. So, you know, I think that first of all, confirms that there's going to be different weapon types. So maybe you won't be forming as strong of an attachment, but I still, from a narrative perspective, I like that idea. And the second thing though, and I think that this actually, we really need to take a second and consider this. But, you know, so many people have been considering whether or not the three new jobs are going to be receiving older weapons from, you know, older prime if they're going to be receiving weapons from older primal fights. And there was a question whether or not Square Enix would go back and add those. And I think that this is a direct confirmation that, yes, there will be. There will be weapons for the new jobs coming out of the old primal fights, and that opens up, you know, where does the Zodiac weapon fall into that as well? You know, are we going to be seeing Zodiac guns and star globes and greatswords?
I don't know, but that's pretty exciting.
But I think the fact that this confirms that you know, the new jobs are going to be somewhat supported in the older content, I think that that's a pretty exciting fact.
Totally.
It's not going to be, you know, Heavensward content and two, you know, a Realm Reborn content. They're not going to be completely walled off from each other.
Because what they kept saying is like, this is an entirely new game, that if you're just starting fresh with Heavensward, it's like a brand new game. So no worries.
Right.
And it made me wonder once it hits, who's going to be in the old areas anymore. So, I mean, if they do it right, we will be, but.
Right. Right.
Who knows?
Ryoko in the chat saying that they said that they were scrapped ideas. I don't know that they said both images were scrapped ideas. Maybe they did. I'm not sure. But I mean, if they're going to go through and design these weapons from the older primals, come on.
I mean, even if the idea of attaching in this way was a scrapped idea, I think what they were telling us is that the attachments.
Right.
Idea in this way was scrapped, not necessarily that like there won't be an Ifrit or Garuda gun.
Right.
So I think even if they said like this is what we were thinking, but it's not exactly what it's going to be, I think there will be something similar.
Yeah. Yeah. The fact that those designs exist and I think that we're gonna see.
I mean, because you can see there's like five different ideas. Like all those little tiny panels are all different versions of the Ifrit and Garuda guns.
Right.
So even if they're scrapped,
yeah,
the final version is still going to be something like that.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, the point in taking a look at these is that is how they could potentially influence, because we didn't get any confirmation on how they do work. So by looking, I know, I see you, chat, I see you. Yes, they were scrapped.
I remember them saying that this is what the dev team does and what goes into a job, and then they said that we don't usually show rough artwork, because you remember when they showed the Astrologian like card thing, they said this is really, really rough, but this is what happened when we scrapped it.
Right.
So I don't know necessarily.
I think
saying the word scrap when it turns to the Astrologian card.
I think the chat part
they said these were all of our possible ideas, and this is what the dev team goes through before they come to a final. But I don't think they necessarily said that like the ones on the right weren't the scrapped ones, and then the one on the left is the final.
Right.
They didn't really say.
I don't.
This is the process step by step.
I don't disagree with our chat room. I don't disagree with our chat room very often, but I think you guys missed the point of us why we're talking about this. So, you know, it's fine. We see you. Yes, we know that, but there's a point to talking about this. So the overarching point is that I think that this is pretty indicative that that the three new jobs will be supported by the old content in some form or fashion, whether it's just getting updated drops. But I think that that's enough, right? Like I'm not saying that this is definitely proof that, you know, that the three new jobs are getting Zodiac support, but I think that this lends to the idea that they could get Zodiac support.
Definitely.
So, all right. And then let's move on to Alexander. And now this was a very impressive screenshot here. And they pointed out for scale that that the trees are down here on the bottom right hand corner. And wow, that is seriously massive. Seriously massive. And I hope they have a really good vista to show this off somewhere in the game, because obviously, you know, if the entrance is right there at the fist or something, you know, it's going to be very difficult to see, much like how some of the binding coil, you know, you don't get a real sense of how big some of those things are when you walk right up to the entrance. So but this is so cool. And you know, they talked a little bit more about you know, the two versions of the raid, having a normal version and an easy version, and connecting, you know, wanting, you know, more casual players to be able to experience the story content along with it.
I wish they would have said a little more if, like, the easy version just gave you story, whereas the hard version would give you the loot, which is what I'm assuming is going to be. Or, because, I mean, if they just release the hardcore, like, for the people who want a challenge and you get the same loot either way, would be stupid, and nobody would ever do the hard version. So I hope that's the way they take it.
Yeah, I do too. And you know, throughout all of this presentation, the thing that I was really impressed by was the scale of all of these new zones. I mean, they are huge. Absolutely huge. And the rendering, I was so impressed by the rendering. It looked fantastic. I have to imagine that that's the new DirectX client that they're showing off, and I'm so excited for it. So excited. I can't wait to get my hands on the benchmark. The little bit of the benchmark that they showed off with you know, with Bismarck in there, wow, was that impressive. Bismarck is massive. Everything about this expansion seems huge and massive. You know, there's some question about some of the zones that they had showed off. You know, and we'll get to that video in just a second. We'll show that video in just a second. But I'm so impressed by the scale of all of this stuff.
Yeah, I mean, because they said that the Alexander endgame raid is like you go through each part of the primal inside and fight like part by part on the inside. So you have to imagine, like, a tree is that big, a person's going to be, you know, yay big.
Right.
And can you imagine, like, climbing throughout piece by piece, like, what exactly that's going to entail? But it's pretty exciting.
Yeah, very, very exciting. Very exciting. So, you know, let's actually take a look at that video, the tour of the North video that they showed off. And you're just gonna have to bear with me a second here, Twitch stream, while I recrop all of the stuff so that I can properly display it on screen. This I think was probably one of the most exciting parts of the entire presentation. We got a real good look at some of these new zones, confirmation of Korthus zones. You know, Korthus Western Highlands was one of the zones confirmed. And we got to see, you know, a lot of new stuff that was shown off. So why don't we take a look? This is the Final Fantasy XIV, A Tour of the North video. Uh, So here we go. We get a little tour of Foundation, and it looks like there's a second Ishgard zone in there as well. That's a little bit higher up in the levels.
It's like tiers of like class system, maybe like the
Juno. Juno, anyone?
I kind of feel like it's like people with less money live on the Foundation, and people who are richer live in the Pillars.
Right. Right. We get a little preview of the airship workshop in here, but, you know, not any of the functionality stuff. It is very much reminiscent of Juno in terms of like the, you know, like the higher you go, the nicer, quote unquote, nicer stuff gets. So, yeah, here's the Pillars.
It reminds me a little bit of FF9's type of towns, too.
Yeah, a little bit. But, again, the scale, the size, the verticality, just brilliant, brilliant design in terms of Ishgard. And it looks like, I mean, we run farther up the stairs, so it looks like maybe there might even be more up the stairs, because that's when it fades out.
I feel like since it's the Pillars, that's kind of like the bridge to the very top, but I mean maybe not.
Yeah,
the Pillars need to be holding something.
So here we get a peek at the Korthus Western Highlands. I'm gonna be curious. This is area that existed, I'm pretty sure, in 1.0.
It just showed someone on the Fenrir mount riding by, so we know we can use old mounts in the new areas at least.
Yeah. Now I'm very curious. I'm very curious about what this area is with the chains and who knows if that's a friendly area or not. You've got a little outpost here. This is cool. I didn't actually catch this the first time. Hang on. I want to go back to this. Did you see this outpost? This outpost here, that's a broken aetherite.
Oh, it is.
That's a broken aetherite that exists around this camp. So maybe not friendly. Let's get another. Let's back it up a little bit farther. So again, we've got this large structure. It looks frozen over, possibly abandoned. And again, we don't know, you know, friendly. Is it going to be a friendly environment or is it going to be hostile? I could be wrong, going out on a limb, just kind of theorizing here. So don't jump all over me, chat, because they could have said something about it in the presentation that I didn't catch. I don't know. But maybe this could be kind of like how Crystal Tower was the raid area. We got kind of like to see it on the map before we got to go there. Maybe this is going to end up being the large raid area, you know, not Alexander, but the large raid area that we're going to be checking out with Heavensward. Who knows? But obviously big structures like this, there's generally something centered around it. And I like the chains. The chains are just a real nice touch. All right, let's get back to this. All right, so here's a flyby of that camp again, and you got to go under that bridge, but here we go. Here's the flyby. You see that aetherite? That's a busted up aetherite, and it looks like people are down there too. So maybe it is a camp that they're defending. And what is up? Hang on. Whoa. What is up there on that ledge at the top as we fly up? Is that an airship? What is that?
It kind of looks like an airship sitting up there.
It kind of does. I don't know.
Or the head of a dragon.
Or something something big, something that you fight that's very, very large. It's not moving, though. It looks frozen. Whatever it is. It could be the head of a dragon. Now I'm seeing it, actually. Now that you say that, I'm seeing it. Could be the bones of a dragon.
I still think it's an airship.
Yeah, it might be a frozen over airship.
Skull. Yeah, but I don't think a skull would be so nicely balanced on the edge of a cliff like that, though.
And what a huge encampment that exists in the Korthus Western Highlands. Look at this tower. This is a gigantic tower. I'm just so impressed. Again, the scale of everything is so impressive. All right, so here we've got the Dravanian Forelands. And that mountain with the floaty rock in the middle. Little Poot saying other bones look like chest cavity. Could be. So here's another. This looks like a beastman encampment, or maybe maybe a Nath encampment. We've seen this before. It looks very insectile, though. So I'm gonna say that it's probably the Nath. Looks like, I don't know. I can't tell exactly what they're fighting down there, though. I have to look.
It looks like they were hitting stuff on the ground, like a box or something.
So more Dravanian Forlans. I gotta wonder what this structure was at one point. We're in the ruins of what looks like a massive amphitheater.
I love that you can just take off from the mount from the ground just straight into the air. Ugh.
Yeah, there we, yep, we see the griffin taking off. I'm pausing this as we go, Nika.
Yeah, I know, I'm trying to, yeah,
sorry,
to keep up with you.
Sorry. I'm sort of arbitrarily doing it. I'm sure it's gotta be maddening for you.
I'm trying to watch it on my own and pause it when you are, since the stream is behind.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So, what? Wait, whoa, hang on, go back. We got
to
go back here.
To what?
Before that fades. Uh-huh. As they pan the camera towards the mountain, what's that? There is definitely a structure there. There's definitely some kind
there's
of...
There's like a globy thing up there.
No, there's not just a globy thing, but look down towards, like, inside the mountain. There looks like it's like some kind of cathedral. There's two spires. I see two spires and then something in the middle that looks like it's connecting it. It looks like there's some kind of structure that's built into the side of that mountain that maybe leads up to that floaty rock.
Oh, you're right.
It looks like it's built literally into the side of the mountain. Oh, that's interesting. That is really interesting, guys. I'm so fascinated by these zone designs. So here we go. We've got the black chocobo, and it skims along the water. How cool is that?
Oh, so cute. Because he's not actually walking on it. He's, like, skimming it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Here we go. We've got another what looks like some kind of, like, townish area.
Did you see the dome to the right side when the chocobo flew by, though?
I did. What was that? Hang on. You're right. What I noticed that the first time. I didn't notice it as we just did it. But it
is. Yeah, it's a dome with, like, rocks that are stuck to it almost on the inside. Like, it's walled off. Like,
yeah.
You can't go in. Like, it's protected or something.
Yeah, exactly. Ooh, what is that? I wonder if... Ooh. Guys, I'm so fascinated.
Yeah, it's like a force field.
It is. And then you've got that little city. I like this. I actually like the contrast of this little, like outpost city area, because everything's real small and low.
The buildings, those are so cool.
Yeah, they're little squat buildings. I like that. And then we've got this massive area that, you know, I mean, this is actually... I think we've seen... I don't know if we saw development screens of this or not, but this structure here... And I'll pause it. This structure here, very much kind of like... I'm catching like a Lord of the Rings sort of vibe. What's the area that they go into when they're... Minas Tirith?
I don't remember.
It sort of reminds me of that. It's huge, though.
It's pretty.
Built right into the side of the mountain too.
Pretty cool.
We've got this path that we're going up.
Oh, it's so big.
It's huge.
Everything. Do you think that's the thing we saw built into the mountain in the previous?
Could be. Now, okay, churning mists. This is really interesting because we've seen this a lot, and, you know, weren't totally sure if this was a friendly area, if this was like a city area, or if this was some kind of like, you know, we got to work through defeating a whole bunch of enemies in here. But there's an aetherite in here. I think that this can confirm that this is, in fact, some kind of city area that we're going to be getting in the churning mists. Yeah, there's the aetherite, and I don't see very much about this that looks hostile, even though a lot of it looks like it's in ruins. So, you know, is it abandoned? There's a lot. I have so many questions about this that I'm so interested to know. I like these little spheres. These
there was runes on the top of that one.
Yeah. PS expert saying that he thinks it's a massive battle area. That's interesting. Structure seems like it's from ancient Greece. Yeah. I mean, if the Churning Mists is nothing but a battle area, I think that that would be pretty cool. If it's an open battle area, that's even, I don't know, like, depending on how they structure it, it could be even cooler. You know, think of like a sky type thing, you know, where it's an event, yeah, but it's also open world too. I mean, Final Fantasy XI, and so much of it was inherently open world that, you know, I just don't know. I don't know what to make of it exactly.
Loves the lightning storm.
Music is so good. Music is so good.
Sea of Clouds.
Nika, when you pointed this out on the stream, they're flying. They're making their way towards whatever is in the distance. That's just not. That's not,
yes,
like a,
like,
texture.
Whatever that is, you can get.
You
to
can
it.
Get to it. Yeah. I am so impressed by it.
I mean, it is definitely getting closer to the player.
Absolutely. Okay, now this, I want to, this part flies by so fast, and I gotta stop. Now, first of all, they don't tell you what this area is, but this is, we've seen,
it could be multiple areas.
It could be multiple areas, but there is definitely something on whatever this area is that's very Allegheny. Could it be part of Alexander? Could it be part of the floating continent that they're teasing? There's got to be a difference between Alexander and the floating continent.
The second shot shows that, like, dragon frozen or something.
Yeah. Oh my God, I didn't even catch that.
Go back to the very second.
I've got it right now. That's very clearly a dragon that's bound by a lot of chains. There's a big chain motif that's going in this expansion.
Oh, he's scary looking.
He is terrifying. All of this is flying by so quickly. I'm gonna say that this is probably the floating continent that they haven't named yet.
Oh, that tower looks. The castle looks so cool. Oh.
So, but it's interesting to note, though, that the floating continent is not. It doesn't seem to be connected to Alexander, which they've plugged as the big endgame raid. So, what is the floating continent?
Well, I mean, the name of the expansion is Heavensward because we're heading for the heavens. So, I feel like that's going to tie in somehow to this lore.
Well, like, yeah, and that's a good point. It's not called Alexward. So, yeah. You know, maybe the thing about Alexander is that it's not tied as heavily to the narrative as something,
I mean,
like Coil.
Because the Coil of Bahamut isn't necessarily tied to the actual game story. It's a separate story on its own.
Unless you played 1.0. It wraps all that up.
But if you think about, for Alexander, it could be its totally,
totally
Crystal
its own
Tower
thing.
Is kind,
yeah,
of, even though it ties in, it's also its own little storyline.
Exactly.
So I think Alexander could be very similar, while this, like, heaven continent is its own, like, story.
I would like to see the floating continent not necessarily be, you know, the expansion's version of the Crystal Tower raid, you know, something that's in between Alexander and, you know, just running dungeons. But I'd like to see it be its own kind of, like, tier of endgame content.
I would like to see it be something like Sky.
Yeah, like Sky, open world.
You have the H&Ms, like Fafnir and the things you can fight that give you good gear, you know, like,
yes,
the end game raid, but you also have the farmable, like, battle area like Sky.
And I think it should be walled off by content completion, much like Sky was. You have to hit X milestone to get there, and it shouldn't just be a gimme. It shouldn't just be a storyline achievement, that it's actually got to be something a little bit more challenging.
You got Sky by finishing the story.
Yeah, you got Sky by finishing the story, but those were some challenging fights, and it walled a significant amount of the community out for a long time.
Mm-hmm. Same with C, especially.
Especially C.
Chains of Promathia battles were extremely challenging.
C was actually a way better example of that. So I think that's probably a really... That's a strong way to organize your endgame content. And the fact that we don't have any endgame content in A Realm Reborn that is open world, it would be a huge get for this game. I think that would be amazing, because open world, the huge draw about open world is the competition aspect. You've now got multiple FCs that are fighting for drops, fighting for claims, and it, you know, that creates another incentive and another drive to play and to and to participate. I think that that's great, and I hope that's the idea that they use for this moving forward. I'm so stoked. I'm so hyped about everything.
Yeah,
so,
me too.
So I think that that's it. Oh, well, no, it's not it. Oh. Just a couple of hard announcements that they saved right there for the end. Heavensward officially comes out June 23rd, 2015, a little bit later than they thought. You know, a lot of people thinking May. You know, they had teased spring 2015, but June 23rd, I think that that's an appropriate date. That's not much of a pushback at all. I'm so excited. Launch going to be June 23rd. Early access begins June 19th. There will be a Mac client that's going to be released at the same time as the Heavensward expansion. There's going to be three versions that you can get. There's a collector's edition, a standard edition, and an all-in-one that includes a purchase of Final Fantasy XIV, A Realm Reborn. Because this is an expansion, it's not a standalone title, not a standalone piece of software. You do have to have A Realm Reborn to be able to play Heavensward. And Benchmark is going to be hitting the website next month. That features it features that wonderful footage with Bismarck in it. And pre-orders for Final Fantasy XIV Heavensward begin March 16th.
Next week.
Yep. So if you want to, you know, pre-order, they didn't say where it was going to be necessarily.
I'm assuming everywhere. If they say pre-order, it sounds like it would be like GameStop, Amazon, their own website, like wherever you want to pre-order.
Here's the thing, though, guys. They didn't give us a price point.
No
price point yet. So it's going to be interesting to see.
But
so,
I wonder when we go to pre-order if it will say what the price would be on the website.
I bet it would. We'll get a price point at pre-order, but I think a lot of people are going to be surprised by how expensive the collector's edition is going to be. I'm predicting $80 for that collector's edition because of the figure.
Well, I mean, if it's got a big, I mean, but then what do you think the standard's going to be? Because you can build from there. Like, if you think about a game nowadays, like a standard price for average PC games, what, $60?
Yeah.
And a collector's edition is anywhere from $100 to $120, depending on the shit you get with it.
I would say standard non-digital collector's edition, I would say, is still going to be $40.
You mean regular edition?
Yeah, that's what I meant. Yeah.
So,
yeah.
See, now I would like to agree with you normally, but I feel like if they're really saying it's as much content as a brand new game, could they push the price point to 50 or 60?
Ah, dude, if they did that, I think there would be a lot of salty people.
You think so?
Oh yeah, I think people would be salty about a $60 price point for an expansion. I get it, though. I would pay it. There's not a single person in this chat room that wouldn't pay it. There's almost not a single person who plays FF14 that wouldn't pay it. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it's a delicate dance that they're going to do, but could they push it to 50? Yeah, I think they could. I think they could, and I think that they could get away with it.
Because then, I mean, I feel like the collector's edition will be based on whatever the standard edition's price is. So yeah, if the standard edition's 40, I could see the collector's being 80.
Yeah.
But I mean, if the standard is any higher than that, I could see the collector's easily being 100.
Yeah, 99. Yeah, I could see that. So okay, well then that takes care of all of the announcements out at PAX East. I'm surprised we actually got way more out of this than I thought we would.
Yeah, definitely.
We got like an hour 15 bonus podcast for you guys. Look for this on the website. This will be coming out today. This will not interfere or adjust our release schedule. Part 2 will be out on Tuesday, so you can look forward to that. Again, if this is your first time joining us on Twitch, we are Limit Break Radio, and we're a Final Fantasy 14 podcast and talk show. Make sure that you hit that follow button, twitch.tv/Limit Break Radio. If you're listening to this in the podcast and you want to join us in the chat room, chat with us during the show, that's twitch.tv/Limit Break Radio. Again, patreon.com/Limit Break Radio if you want to support Limit Break Radio's growth and expansion. Again, this show is really a direct result from you guys and from your giving as a part of the Patreon campaign. We could have sat back on our heels and not done live reactions and just waited until all of the notes came out and had maybe a little bit more of a cohesive show with more people here. But you know what? We wanted to do it live, and your gifts allow us to be able to do that. So keep an eye on the Patreon page for those of you who have decided to become patrons to Limit Break Radio. We're going to be putting out our first little piece of bonus video content that's going to be coming out soon. And we also want to share with you the first little bit of equipment that your money has helped us buy. So we're going to be making some improvements on our streaming end when we stream games, and that's as a direct result of your support. So again, patreon.com/limitbreakradio to support. Of course, we've got our Facebook page. That's facebook.com/limitbreakradio, as well as our Twitter page. You can follow that at Limit Break Radio. So that's going to do it. I want to thank Nika Kyanian for hanging out with me this afternoon and reacting to all of these exciting announcements. It's been a fun afternoon at PAX East. For you lucky folks that got to actually go to PAX East, enjoy it. Joe Never, I'm looking at you.
I'm looking at you, Joe.
And hope you had a great time. Thanks for hanging out with us. For Nika Kyanian, I'm Aniro Grigori. LimitBreakRadio.com. Keep listening.
Breaking News is a production of LimitBreakRadio.com and Bender Media Productions. Final Fantasy XIV is a trademark of Square Enix. All music on this show was provided by Husky by the Geek. Listen to this and other great Final Fantasy and video game covers at facebook.com/Husky by the Geek. Limit Break Radio and its hosts are solely responsible for its content.